There have been more teaching in the body of Christ than ever before. There are several religious stations and networks where you can get teaching and preaching all day long. We built mega churches with attendance in the thousands. We've received a fresh anointing. We had a supernatural breakthroughs. We have abundant faith. Yet in the midst of this pandemic, the church has been woefully silent in response. Where is the church now?
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World. If there ever was a time for the church to rise up and take her rightful place, it is now. In the midst of all that is going on, where is the voice of God speaking to his people and speaking to the nation? Come and go with us as we share the word of not being unequally yoked.
What Paul was talking about, and when he wrote this church, is about believers being yoked. And they would tie two animals together, two oxen together to plow the field. And he said, in fact, the scripture said, don't put an ox together with a donkey. They're not the same nature. They can't work together. They can't go the same direction. They're going to be pulling and fighting against each other. Then there's no harmony. There's no unity. There's no peace. We can't get anything done unequally yoked. See, it's the nature that determines the association. The sheep has a nature to hang out with other sheep and graze with the sheep. The Christian, the believer, possesses a divine nature. And you ought to want to associate yourself with others who have the same nature. Two opposite natures don't work together well. And they shouldn't be bound together. Don't mean you can't associate, you can't work, but don't be yoked. See, when they yoked them together, you couldn't get apart. And whichever one was the strongest, he pulled the one that was the weakest. Those things of the world will contaminate anything that's pure. You get yoked with some unbeliever, the unbeliever is going to drag you. You're not going to drag that unbeliever. Because the only reason you got yoked to them is because you had something in you that still identified with them. So when Paul said, do not be yoked with an unbeliever, he's expecting us to know the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And somebody says, well, Pastor, we can't judge who's saved and who's not saved. Well, the Bible tells us that we will know them by their fruit. Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Tell them, I'm not a judge. I'm a fruit inspector. There are some people that we may not be sure whether they are a believer. Then there are others where it's obvious by their behavior and their fruit they produce that they are an unbeliever. It's obvious. You may work with a person, but you don't have to be yoked to them. And there are some family members you don't need to be yoked to. You're not believers. Being yoked is walking with them, behaving like them, talking like them, thinking like them, and living like them. Then Paul asks a series of questions to make this point clear. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? He asked that. You answer that. What does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what harmony is there between Christ and Belial, that's Satan? And what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? We have here a comparison and a contrast. We have righteousness and wickedness. Light and darkness, Christ and Satan, believers and unbelievers, God's temple and the idol's temple. He says those shouldn't be mixed and yoked together. Then we are challenged and charged to know who we are. For he goes on to say, for we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple, this believers. We're the temple of the living God. As God said, now this is where I'm getting to. God said, we are the temple. And God said, I will live with them and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now God says, I'm going to live with you. When God is living with you, when God is riding with you, God says, I got this. Don't worry about it. You'll walk through the water, you'll not drown. You'll go through the fire, and you're not going to be burned. Don't worry about a thing. I got you. When I live with you, when I walk with you, when I am your God and you are my people, I take care of you. God is not going to be comfortable walking with you and living with you if you're yoked to an unbeliever. Paul reached back in this scripture. He says, I'm going to live with them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Paul was quoting from the book of Leviticus chapter 26. It begins by saying, if you obey me and you keep my commands and my laws and walk according to my laws, God said, this is what I'll do for you. But if you don't, this is what will happen to you. Let's take just a glimpse of that in verse 11. God says, I will put my dwelling place among you and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your head up high. God said, that's what I've done for you. Somebody else said, thank you, Lord. He did that for me. He said, I broke the yoke of sin. I brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I am your God. I will walk with you. I will be with you. But look at verse 14. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this for you. I will bring upon you 9/11, wasting disease, coronavirus, and fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. God said, listen, I ain't playing. Y'all can play if you want to, but I ain't playing. That's what God said, I ain't playing. If you walk away and you start disobeying and you start living a life according to the world and not according to what I want to do, I will get your attention. I will send sudden terror. I will send wasting disease. And what do you think we have? We're dealing with right now, a wasting disease, and it's not just a virus. We got a disease of suspicion and division and anger and all kinds of things. People got all kind of crazy theories and all kind of stuff like that. We got folk don't even want to get the vaccination. I think they're going to try to kill all the black people. They don't want to kill all the black people. People coming up with all kind of crazy stuff. We got fake news. We got all kind of things that people are believing, that they're hearing. But that is the ways of the world. The Bible says, do not be conformed to the things of this world, to the world's way of thinking, the world's way of doing. And the world have gotten into the mind of the church. We're talking and we're taking what they're saying and we're believing it and we're acting on it. We're spreading the rumors like anybody else. You got to start telling people, don't send me that. How do you know that? Who told you that? That don't make no sense. God loves dwelling among his people. Genesis would tell us that God would come down and talk to Adam. God wants to dwell with us. God wants to live with us. God wants to fellowship with us. God wants to walk with us. And God promised to walk with you and walk with me no matter what we're going through. God promised to live with us. God called us out and said, you are my people. God said, I got some people. You're my people. What a promise to hold on to in these days and these times, that this is our God and we're his people. Now, with that in mind, why are we so anxious and fearful? Why are we hiding in the corner and at our house to see what's going to happen next? Why are we afraid to walk in the power that God has given us? It is because we're yoked up with the worldview and the philosophers of the unbelievers. He already told us not to be conformed to the things of this world. But don't you know it's getting more difficult to tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever? It's not because the unbeliever is acting holy. It's because the people who are supposed to be living holy are acting like the unbelievers. Unbelievers are mimicking church folks. Don't you know the unsaved and unbelieving people can sing gospel music better than church folks? They ain't even saved. And they can shout better than you. You won't even shout no more because you're, I don't think you take all that. I just want to go. But you got a bunch of unbelievers on the stage. They just shout. They've been practicing. Yeah, they've been practicing. They say, I know how to do that. I think I can do that. How you do that dance? They get in the mirror and practice, and they get out and they perform. And you buy it. He ain't saved. Don't know God. That don't matter. People buy gospel music, I'm going to sing gospel. They are mimicking church folks. And then the church folks start mimicking the unbeliever. We want to be like them. We want to dress like them. We want to walk like them. We want to talk like them. We want to be hip like them. So they have infiltrated the church. We're looking like them. We're talking like them. We're accepting every social and political correct position and idea that the world have is right in the church. We're afraid to take a stand for right and righteousness. They say we need to all be inclusive. Include every lifestyle. It doesn't, you know, why you want to be a hater? Include every lifestyle. They're making it so that they just want you to march to their beat. You can't use certain words. You can't call nobody dumb no more. You can't call them dumb. You can't call them fat. Oh, you should, no. They want to put you, close you down. You call somebody fat. Well, they were fat. They say you want to be inclusive. Let me tell you what God says about inclusivity. He says this in verse 17. After he told us not to be yoked with them, he said, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. These are some specific action steps, and this is what the believer should do. He said, come out from among them. Separate yourself from them. There need to be a difference between the clean and the unclean. There's a difference between the holy and the unholy. When the last time you heard that? What you trying to say, Pastor? Well, I'm trying to say there's a difference between the clean and the unclean. There's a difference between the holy and the unholy. There's a difference between believers and unbelievers. Some people are going to heaven. Some people are going to hell. That hasn't changed. This is what he says. He will do when you do what he asks you to do. He says, I will receive you. I will be your father. You will be my son and be my daughter. And then Paul concludes this line of thought with the next verse in chapter 7, verse 1. He says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. We have these promises. He said, since we have these promises, since we, who's the we? The believers. Come on, say we. Since we have these promises. The unbeliever do not have these promises. The believers have these promises that he's going to walk with us, be our God. We're going to be his sons and daughters. He's going to be our father. God says, I promise you that I'll be with you. When you talk to unbelievers, they don't know what you're talking about. They're not part of the we. They don't know what you're talking about when you speak the words of God and the promises of God and your trust in God and your hope in God. They don't get that. We say God will take care of me. They say I will take care of myself. I have a good job. I'm going to get Social Security. I have Medicare. I hope I have another stimulus check. But we say our hope and our resources come from the Lord. Our blessings come from the Lord. God is our source. They say, no, we got this. And if things keep going like they're going, nobody's going to get Social Security. And nobody's going to have Medicare. We're going to be all calling on the Lord for health. We say our eyes are on an eternal destiny and the best is yet to come. And they say, I live for right now. I get all I can. I enjoy everything I can and all of the experiences I can. I'm enjoying it right now because this is the only life I can live. We say, God is my Father and He walks with me and guides my life. And they say, I am on my own. I'm my own God. I direct my own life. Now that we have these promises, we ought to purify ourselves from everything that contaminates. This is an action step for us. Being yoked to an unbeliever will contaminate you and affect your walk with the Lord. CNN and Fox News can contaminate you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, emails. They can all contaminate you. You're listening to the thoughts and opinions of everybody else, and a lot of these people are crazy. And it is so amazing how quickly people can be drawn to some kind of crazy conspiracy theory. And you think we have intelligence. We think we're smart. We think we're intelligent. And we are drawn, even people in the church. How many pastors we see, Pastor Jack and I watching TV, and we're looking at some of these major pastors. They're not preaching no more. They're talking about how the election has been stolen and all the little things that all the conspiracy theories and all this stuff. And you go over in the court says, bring me some evidence. And have done. But then they go through and they say, God's going to do something. God's going to fix this thing. You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? They are unequally yoked. You can support the policies of the president without supporting the lunacy of him. We all know he had issues before he got started. Anybody who say the Mexicans are going to pay for a wall, you know he got a problem. Why are you even listening to what he's saying? But not only are they listening, they've been dragged into and are standing firm and prophesying about things. The church folk being unequally yoked. I believe he's saved. He said he accepted Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the one who said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? I ain't got nothing against the man, but his fruit is suspect. When you're vile and hateful and vindictive and you go after people that disagree with you and demonize them, that ain't the spirit of God. Why are you gonna hook up with that and let them drag you in the mud with you? And you're supposed to be a believer. You're supposed to be a man of faith, a woman of faith. I know you can't vote for the other folks because they're abortionists and they believe in gay marriage and all that stuff like that. That's okay. But you ain't got to hook up with a person and be unequally yoked to the person to support a policy. Just say, we're praying for them to get saved. I'm gonna vote this way, but I ain't going to support him. Listen, we got enough to preach from in the pulpit than to try to be political when we get up here. Our goal is to get people out of hell and get them into heaven. It don't matter who's in power. The next person coming in is not going to fix it either. Might as well get ready for it. The bumpy ride is not over. And if the church don't get up off of its hinder parts, as the King James says, we're going to be in for a rough ride. And where are the people of God? Don't let Facebook and Twitter and all of that, and don't even let Pookie and Ray Ray contaminate you. You go to the barbershop and sit up there and Pookie talking all kind of crazy stuff. Go to the beauty shop, Ray Ray talking all kind of crazy stuff. And y'all just buying into it. Maybe there's something to that. and you don't say anything about God. He says, perfect holiness, and I'm finished, out of a reverence for God. See, when you come from among them, then you're heading toward God, and God is heading toward you. You are in the place where God is pleased and comfortable walking among you and talking to you. Then you're going to be able to stand on the promises of God, and you're going to be able to overcome everything that comes to you. And this is where God wants to get to in the last scripture, and I'm done. It's going to comment on itself. In chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, as God's fellow workers, he said, we're working alongside of God. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. More people ought to be coming to Jesus Christ today than ever before. There's no hope, there's no help without God. All God needs is someone who will stand up and deliver the message. You can't deliver the message if you're tied to all the other stuff. You yoke to all this other stuff. You yoke to the internet. You yoke to then all this talk is going on. You know, if you turn your television off and don't listen to news for a month, you'll feel a whole lot better. God is looking for someone who said, Lord, here I am. Send me. I'm not afraid. This is my day. This is my hour. You know whose God's protection is going to be over? Those that are out there working for him. God says, I got to work. He can't be sick. He can get hit by a pickup truck. Ain't nothing going to happen to you because I got a job for you. And you're working. How many today will say, Lord, help me to cleanse myself of every filthiness of the flesh and spirit so I can perfect holiness. Help me to find out where I might be connected anyway and holding on to the things of the world and yoked in places I shouldn't be yoked. I need to cut the cord on that. I need to separate myself from some things so that I can be the one that you want to use in this day and this hour. I can be the one that have light in dark places, hope where there's no hope, and help where there's no help. I want to be the one. Is there anybody here who says I want to be the one? Everything that you've experienced and everything you're going through, God will use it to reach somebody right now.
It's been disheartening to see how the church has been on the sidelines during the pandemic, the social upheaval, the political turmoil, and all that is happening around us and to us. It seems that some of our church leaders are promoting and encouraging some of the misinformation and turmoil that is happening. I believe God wants the church to lift up her banner and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great time for the church to reach people who are hurting, reach people who are in anxiety, reach people who have lost their jobs or have lost family members. We have an opportunity to allow God to use us to minister to the people in our community, the people in our churches, the people in our country. I encourage you to put your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. God wants us to look to him and what he wants to get done through us in this day and time. This is Jerry G. Martin. Thank you for listening to us here at the Light of the World. I invite you to join with us online each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. If you would like to join us, as we are still meeting in person with our protocols for hygiene and safety and our mask and social distancing, join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. We're at 16161 Old Humble Road. If you have a prayer request, we'd love to pray for you and with you, especially during this time of our fasting and prayer. Call us at 281-964-1393. 281-964-1393. 9:3. Now for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.